you guys know when Jesus said it's finished, he actually believed it. It's finished, guys. That old man is dead, gone, crucified. Amen? You stop trying to die to yourself every day. You died 2,000 years ago. That's the biggest waste of time I see in church. Die to yourself every day. I get up and die every day. That's really stupid because you died 2,000 years ago. Scripture clearly says his death was your death. Now your life is your life. Amen? So just know it's finished. When he said it's finished, he means it's finished. You guys get what I'm trying to say? There's nothing you can add to the completed work of Jesus Christ. Nothing. Even communion, guys, it's really to renew our mind to what truly already happened. You can't get any closer than you already are by taking. Does that make sense? I know a lot of people believe it actually turns into the blood and no. That's to crucify. No, it's really for us. It's really for us to go, I'm remembering again that I'm in you and he's in me. It's a wedding feast again. It's a wedding vow. That's where all the wedding cake came from. I've taught that a lot where, hey, this is my body and my blood and this is your body. Two have become one. It's a mystery. And so communion literally means, it's a Latin word that just means we're together again. We're communing. Does that make sense? So, how many guys know that you're completely sinless and spotless already in his eyes? This is the marriage feast. I love the fact that he said, keep the feast, not the fast. Even to the Jews, he said, keep this feast to all generations. Amen? So, this is our feast. This is the banquet table of the wedding again. It's just a reminder of us. If we can bring that first slide up for communion, that would be great. So that's why wouldn't get hung up on, and some people go, I didn't have any juice. I go, coffee works great. Whatever, add a little creamer and sugar to it. It's wonderful. That's the, whatever you want to do to it. It's really just to renew our mind to what actually happened. And so Romans 6:3, my voice isn't too distracting, is it? Can you hear me at least? Yeah, okay, praise God. All right, Romans 6:3, do you not know? This is Paul's style of writing all the time. When he's corrective, he said, don't you know? You know, even to the Corinthian church that had all kinds of nonsense going on. I won't even get into all the stuff they were doing. But if people go, it's getting worse. I go, no, it was worse back then. Trust me, it's getting better and better right now. At least we don't have temple prostitutes anymore, right? So that's what was happening back then. And still, Paul's message was not the typical Christian message. Stop doing that. You know what he said? Don't you know? Don't you know your body's the temple? He would just remind them that this mystery that God now lives inside them. Don't you know? So here's his writings again. Don't you know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? How many of you guys know he's not talking about the church's water baptism today? He considered Jesus' death and burial your baptism. And baptism is just it's an immersion in that. He goes, don't you know that he is you? That his death was your death? This is what he's trying to say. So don't you know that you were immersed into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death? Meaning that, don't you know that your old man is already dead? You don't need to try kill it every day. When Paul was saying, I die daily, if you read that in context, he goes, listen, the Jews hate me, they're trying to kill me. The Christians hate me, they're trying to kill me. Every hour I go out, somebody's trying to kill me. I die daily. Meaning that I'm putting my life on the line every day. And Greg, you and I were talking about this. he helped out drum me and he goes, I had to check you guys out first. And I said, we're full on grace, bro. If you want religion, you got to go somewhere else because you won't find it here. I hope. Right? I hope. But said, here's how you can tell if you preach grace. Preach the good news of Jesus Christ and see if Christians get spun through the roof. And if they do, it's grace. I promise you, because the religious party in us wants to go, he can't say that. How can he say that? That's what they told Paul. Amen? You got to preach it till it sounds like too good. Well, what are we supposed to do? Exactly. Now you've touched grace. So here's what he's saying. His death was your death. The part you hate about yourself has already died. That's what we renew ourselves every day. You know what he sees when he sees you right now? Jesus Christ. You're in him. Two have become one. Therefore, if that's true, we have been buried with him by baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. So what he's saying is, don't you know Jesus is who you are today? Something happened on the cross. You know, when Mary and the disciples came to the tomb, what did the angels say? He's not here. He's alive. He's alive, guys. And you know where he lives? In you. Hallelujah. His death was your death. His life is now your life. It's a finished deal. This is what we're remembering. Amen? So now everything that he has, everything that he stands for, all of his provision, all of his grace, all of his joy, guess who owns it today? We do. We're a joint heir of Jesus Christ. Amen? So it's a done deal. You're no longer struggling to get into Christ. He placed you there by himself. He adopted you as sons, is what it says. So all we're really doing is we're just reminding you of what already took place 2,000 years ago. Praise God. So that being said, who can take communion today? Everybody. Everybody. Amen. That old man died. The sin deal has been gone. In fact, sin, hamartia, literally means no form. Because you forgot who you once were. How many of you guys know in God's eyes, you never sinned? That's a tough one for a Christian, isn't it? He never saw Adam and Eve's sin. He saw their condition where they believed that God was upset with them and they were without form. God went after them and Adam and Eve hid in the bushes. Who told you that? Amen. The enemy, his only tactic still today is to get you to believe something wrong about yourself. He never had any power, never did have any power, does not have any power today, unless you run around in the charismatic church and they tell you he has power. You give it to him, exactly right. As far as I know, he's never had any. He's a liar that acts like he had it some. Amen? Does that make sense to you guys? So this is the good news of Jesus Christ. Everything that he has is now you. He did something on the cross. So let's just celebrate that. Father, we just thank you. You can come on up and take your communion. Father, we thank you that Jesus did it all. We're not trying to get there. We're already there 2,000 years ago. We're just coming alive to that reality that he did everything. So Father, we thank you that they carried the unlimited grace of his life. They carried the unlimited favor of his life. They carry the supernatural blessing of his life. They carry the supernatural healing of his life. They carry everything that he is and stands for, and he's in us. And we just say thank you that we don't have to pray for a portal. We are the portal. We are the dispenser of the new kingdom in Jesus' magnificent name. Amen, amen, amen. Let's just worship him. The good news only. Mixture will mess you up, I promise you, because it puts that little seed of doubt in there again. And then the word of faith guys go, no, have more faith. They go, how can you have more faith when you just took their assurance away? The only way you can have trust, which is really pistis, faith, is I trust him, despite me. I can have faith in that, amen? I can have trust in that, as that's what it means. So anyway, I think, I'm so excited. I'm so close to, for me, solving this whole faith riddle that's puzzled me for the last 10 years. So we'll cover that over the next few. Guys, it's fascinating when we start looking into, at least for me, when I really just start getting into the word myself, and I've really just tried to go, la, 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 from all the stuff the last 10, 15 years I've learned, and go, what does it actually say? Not what I heard. Not what I heard the preacher say. What does it actually say? And man, it's good news. I was showing her what Helps Word Study says about faith. It says, faith is always a gift and can never be produced by humans. I was like, then what was I doing and what did I listen to for the last 10 years building your faith? It's an impossibility. It's a gift, amen? So guess what? When you're told what Jesus has done for you, it just imparts. You're like, really? Well, what do I need to do? Nothing. Oh, praise God. Now I can trust him, amen? It's fascinating to me. So anyway, I'm getting off tangent, but hey, you can't build jack, so stop trying and just receive it as a gift, okay? And you know what, even in Mark 11, 22, 23, where the massive faith ministries came out of, I'll show you that in scripture, where literally Jesus says, you know where it says, have every time it says have faith in Christ in Scripture, go look in the interlinear Bible and see if there's even a preposition there. There is never in there. Never. There's not even a preposition. Like, because I know the big faith movement is, have the faith of God. Have God's kind of faith. Good luck. Right? Exactly right. There's no preposition, because I know the big argument is, but does it say in or of? They're different. I go, it doesn't say either one of them. It just says, theos, trust. And so when they said, when in Mark 11, 22, in all the scriptures, if you go look at it, Jesus goes, have the faith of God. He's given it to him as a gift. He goes, I know your faith is going up and down and it's balanced and not balanced and all over the place. He goes, guess what? Just trust in mine, because it's now a gift to you. See, I can trust that now. I'm like, oh, praise God. It's not my balance or unbalance or jack. Because I can't do it. There's no preposition there, guys. It's have my faith. Even the guy who's like, listen, I believe, Lord, help my unbelief. What did he do for him? So here's what he's saying. I believe you. I don't have it. And Jesus goes, it's okay, I got it. You can have mine. It's a gift. You got this one. See, it's so beautiful to just go, Lord, I don't trust my faith because it's weak. But I can trust you that you love me perfectly. Because when I was dead in sin, when I was your enemy, you died for me. And I didn't pray, I didn't fast, I didn't do anything. How much more that I'm now I'm in you and a co-equal with you, that I can trust you even more. That's how trust works. Amen? The whole thing about the cross was, he goes, I died for you because I love you so much. What more can I do to get you to just trust me? So stop worrying about your anemic faith and just trust his amazing faith. Amen? Amen? Does that make sense? Yes. Now I have two immovable things, his promise and his blood covenant. That's what it says in Hebrews. My two immutable things, you can trust me. How's that? So it's okay to go, you know what? I got miserable faith, Lord. I need to trust yours right now. In fact, I would encourage you to do that. To be honest with you. Because it's restful. It's a beautiful thing. Amen? How many of you guys know you can trust him? Because he says you can. See, faith was never this obstacle to climb over to get to God. The veil was torn completely. And he says, now everybody, Jew and Gentile, come boldly to me and be back in my fellowship. Amen? Nothing for you to do but just sit at his feet like Mary instead of Martha, trying to build your faith. Busy doing things. Martha, Martha, come on. Why don't you be like Mary and just hang out with me and just enjoy this beautiful family that you're back in. Amen? Well, let's just get into it. How's that? Because instead of me trying to tell you what's going on, it's good news. That's all I will tell you. It's really good news. So 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Are you in Christ? Yes, amen. So guess what? You are a new creation. All old things have already passed away. Your old man that you're still trying to kill is already dead, right? So what do? The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. You guys know the new has come? The new has come. All this is what? From God. What did you do? I'm pretty sure when he says all, he means all. Everything that happened on the cross, he did it all. So he said, something happened on that cross. Your old man died, and now your new man is alive. Praise God. All right? All this from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Every one of us, you know what our ministry is? To tell the world what's already true about them. How many guys know that you telling them doesn't make it true? It's just telling them what already took place because they haven't heard it in church. Does that make sense? So, all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the Jew to himself. The dude who got up here at 13 and said the sinner's prayer. He reconciled the world to himself. Oh my guys, you know, you standing up here when you're 13 saying the sinner's prayer didn't make you any more saved than the guy. All you're doing is coming alive to the truth that already happened to people. Now, people don't dare teach this because they start yelling at everybody that they're universalists. Listen, the world's in trouble because they're not hearing the good news anywhere, hardly even in church. And so I'm not saying something happens when you hear the good news. Something sparks in your heart. You go, that is the truth. And you start to come alive to it. But how many of you guys know he took care of it 2,000 years ago? You guys believe that or no? I'm just reading it, right? That is in Christ. God was reconciling the world to himself. And you know, and I, man, why do I get myself in these positions all the time? No, Mike, they got to say the sinner's prayer. Well, what about the mute? The mute. Like me, I don't have a voice right now. No, but honestly, think about that. No, something happens when they say those words. It's almost like, here, hurry up and hurry up. Say these things after me. Repeat after me. What if they're mute? He's out. That doesn't fit my theology, right? Come on, guys. Let's think about this realistically, honestly. That in Christ, God was reconciling the cosmos, the entire world. Everything was reconciled to himself 2,000 years ago, not counting their trespasses against them. Amen? See, I was taught this, and some of you guys, I was taught the whole penal substitution where, and I taught it because that's what I was taught. And the biggest ministries in the world teach this, but I totally disagree today. I'm like, wait a minute. The Father, Christ, and the Holy Spirit, how many of you guys know we're taught that they're one? Were we taught that they never change? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. How many of you guys seen that Jesus is the fullness of the Godhead in a body? Bodily is what it says. Well, what's the fullness of the Godhead? Is it just Jesus? It's all three, isn't it? So you know who was hanging on the cross? The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. See, here's what I was taught. He's pissed because we sinned. So here I am over here. Here's the Father really ticked off. And until Jesus comes, he's going to come and... But because Jesus hung on the cross and all of his fury and wrath came on him, now it's okay to approach the Father again. I don't agree with that anymore at all. I go, wait a minute. If he is perfect love, which he says he is, I'm agape love, and agape love keeps no record of wrong, ever. So did he ever keep a record of wrong of Adam and Eve? Where was the record of wrong? In our minds, in our hearts. He died to show us his love for us. You know who killed Jesus? The wrath of man. The wrath of God is, I hate the condition my kids are in, that the devil's got them believing that they're separated from me, and I'm going to fix this thing once and for all. I'm going to die, and then I'm going to rise again to show them, to prove to them forever, I did everything to settle your conscience, that I was never upset at you, that sin's been dealt with. It never separated me from you. It separated man from him. He's never had an issue with it. He's always been a loving Father, perfectly in love with you forever. He never had the issue with it. We've talked about the faith of Abraham all the time. Did Abraham mess up? Yes. And I think where we're missing it is we think we're going to have faith like Abraham, and we forget that the law were types and shadows of good things to come. So one man had faith, and it said, if you have faith, Abraham, then all of the nations of the earth shall be blessed through this one man. Who's that a picture of? Jesus Christ. Jesus, that's who it's a picture of. So stop trying to have the faith of Abraham. If you do, you go, I can't be like, well, even if you did, we've seen that. Abraham lied on his wife twice. What did God say? Nah, that clogged up your pipe. You sinned. Now I don't hear you. That's what I was taught in the Word of Faith. Hey, the sin clogs up the pipe and he doesn't hear your prayer. Get the Roto-Rooter out, man. Get that sin out of your life, and then you just get miserable and lie to your pastor. And then you start looking at you again. Why are these bad things happening in my life? Oh, God, I won't do that again. Yeah, you will. Did it separate you ever from God? Never, man. Did it separate you from his supernatural blessing? Never. He always says, man, you're my beloved. You're the apple of my eye. I love everything about you. You're this perfect, spotless bride. I'll never change that because I've never kept any wrong about you. That's who he's been. That's who he's always been. Isn't that beautiful? But God's too holy to look at sin. No. He was actually on the cross with Jesus. The fullness of the Godhead bodily was on the cross. Amen? Does this make any sense to you guys? It's probably just throwing out everything you thought you knew. But praise God, right? Because Paul says this, I know nothing but Christ crucified. That my old man died and now I'm alive in Jesus Christ. He settled it on the cross. That's all I'm going to know. Amen? That's what I'm going to know now too. So, in Christ, God was in him, reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us this amazing message of reconciliation. Amen? So we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We beseech you on the behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. How many of you guys know that you could take that as a command? But what he's really saying is, Christ, God was in Christ, he reconciled the whole world to himself. So just accept that reality and be reconciled. That's what he's trying to say. You guys, am I making sense to you? What he's trying to say is this already happened. Jesus did all the work. He did all the heavy lifting. Now just accept it. So that's where the whole heart issue comes in. Like, are you kidding me? He reconciled himself to him? Yeah, but I'm me. Right? I know, but just accept that amazingly good news that you've been reconciled. There's nothing for you to do, praise God. And now you start to experience his life. See, I think most of the time we have this deal in Christianity where we're still trying to get there. I mean, I felt like that. I felt like I was on the hamster wheel, man. We didn't want to share the good news anymore because it wasn't good to us. Honestly, after about 2-3 years in charismatic teaching, the word of faith teaching, we're like, we're miserable. Who would want this? Yeah, but we got to go evangelize because the blood of them is on my hands if I don't. Yeah, right. I'm going to guilt you into giving away this bad news. For once you, honestly, when I heard, what do you mean? He'll never judge me for anything I've ever done, ever? Ah, woo, that's good news. I'm going to share that with people. And you want to see Christians go through the roof. Share the gospel, man. Woo. But it's good news to me. It's really good news that I'm in him, man. Nothing lacking. Complete in Christ. Hallelujah. Two have become one. I'm in him. He's in me. This mystery of called marriage thing. That I'm married to Jesus. Praise God. We can even pray in his name. That means I'm surnamed Jesus Christ. I'm in God's family. Amen? Hallelujah. I can't get any better than that. Isn't that good news? That's what he's saying here. So just be reconciled from this day forward. What if I don't read my Bible? No worries. Be reconciled. See, I think almost all of that, we slip into legalism so fast. And I know everybody's got good intentions. Hey, you got to read this to know what's in it. Most people that read it don't know what's in it. See, everything's in you. And you're not trying to get there to find out what's in it. I'm trying to share with you, it already happened. I'll just let it miraculously flow out of you. Amen? That's what Jesus criticized the Jews for. He goes, listen, you got your head in your stupid Bible for 2,000 years, and you can't find me because you're trying to get there, not realizing that you're trying to get me and not realizing that all those scriptures testify about me. Amen? So now every promise in that Bible is yes and amen. I'm not telling you not to read your Bible. I'm telling you, if you think reading your Bible is going to get you closer to God, it's going to be in vain. Where you realize that I got to read this to get somewhere. Go, no, whether I read it or not read it, I know one thing. That old man died and now I'm alive in Christ. And I'm reconciled to him because of his work on the cross. Praise God. That's all I know. That's what the whole thing says. Amen? Is that good news to you? That'll save you a lot of years. So, We beseech you on behalf of Christ, just be reconciled to God. I want to start with that. Now let's get into some other scriptures in Corinthians, okay? Let me get a drink of water. Promise you, next week my vows will be back 100%. Thank you. All right, 2 Corinthians 3:7. You've all heard this. The ministry of death. What was the ministry of death? The law, written, the old covenant, written on stones, right? Written and engraved on stones was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of the glory of his countenance, which glory was passing away. If you read different translations, it says this was a temporary deal, this old covenant deal, and it was going to go away. That's why anytime you see something slow down, decay, fading, you know, the stream from Elijah to Elisha went from this stream to little trickle. Talking about this thing, this old covenant glory is going away, and there's going to be a new one that's way better. Does that help you guys out? All right. So, the children of Israel could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of the glory of the countenance, which glory was passing away. How will the ministry of this Spirit not be more glorious? So here's what he's saying. If that old thing we had any glory whatsoever, you haven't seen anything yet. That's my interpretation of that, all right? For if the ministry of condemnation had glory, the ministry of righteousness exceeds much more in glory. What am I supposed to be serving you? Ministry is serving somebody with something. What's the new covenant ministry supposed to be serving you with? Hey, good news, you're righteous. You righteous saints, you. I just proclaimed all of you saints. I didn't wait for the Pope. Neither did Paul. He would always say, hey, you saints in Ephesus, you saints in Galatia, right? Funny that the Catholic Church still waits for the Pope. I have nothing against it. I grew up Catholic. I went to catechism when I was 18. I'm just saying, you don't need to wait for the Pope. Jesus made you a saint. You can't get any more sanctified than you already are. Does that make sense? You have sanctification. Yeah, but you have it. Just be reconciled. No yeah, buts in the kingdom. So, for if the ministry of condemnation has glory, the ministry of righteousness exceeds much more in glory. For even what was made glorious had no glory in this respect, because of the glory that excels. So what he's saying is, listen, that old thing had a little bit of glory, but you haven't seen anything yet. And so he just says it again. For if what was fading away, passing away, was glorious, what remains, I mean, I said, it says, you know what, Jesus will sit on David's throne for an everlasting kingdom. Is he sitting on the throne? Yeah. And it's going to be everlasting. Amen? All right, let's keep going. Verse 12, therefore, since we have such hope, we have used great boldness of speech. Unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away. But their minds were blinded. For until this day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in Christ. And we even saw that at Christ's death. What happened? The veil was torn. So you know what's amazing? The Jews sewed it back up. How's that? Right? That had to be a shocker, wasn't it? And they, you know what's amazing is the other people in the high priest had to be sitting there sewing that thing up, and they didn't die. You know why? Because he left the joint. You know where the temple is today? You. Amen? You are, that's why Paul says, don't you know, you are the temple. His whole idea was he's going to manifest himself in you. Amen? That's why when at Pentecost, the Shekinah glory was over the mercy seat, right? But then at Pentecost, Joel prophesied about this. He said, listen, it's not going to be just the priests, the prophets, and the kings who I'm going to pour my spirit out. You know what I'm going to pour my spirit out on? Even the handmaidens in this Jewish society where actually women were treated kind of like dirt. Amen? He goes, I'm even going to pour it out on them. So that's why you saw that Shekinah glory over their head. He said, now my presence is in man. That was my plan all along. That two of them are going to come one. You're the temple of me. Amen? Anyway, but their minds were blinded, for until this day the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the old covenant. Because the veil is taken away in Christ. In Christ he took away the veil. We even saw it physically. He demonstrated it too. Veil rips. Yep. What's that? Exactly, the wedding goes up at the veil, amen, so you can see your hot wife. That's at least that's what I was excited about. Anyway, I had no idea what it meant over here. I was just like, I'm excited to see my wife. So anyway, to this day, when Moses is read, the veil lies on their heart. It lies on their heart, right? Everybody's laughing about that. So anyway, you guys felt the same way. All right. Verse 16. Nevertheless, when one turns, I thought that this was interesting, where it says when one turns, it's epistrepho, to return back to where you wandered from. The reality was, in God's eyes, nothing changed even when Adam and Eve sinned. We wandered away from that high place of grace. Man did, because of his conscience. He thought, man, I know I'm not that great. And we ran and hid in the bushes. Amen? You guys hear that? He said, even the Beatles got that right. Get back to where you once belonged. You always belonged there. And now he's demonstrated that you can. So, nevertheless, when one turns, meaning that if I stop looking at this old broken system of my works and my effort to try to get back to God, and I just turn to Jesus, I go back to go, wait a minute, that's my real place. In fact, if you go look at the story of the prodigal son, it's the same verbiage. It says, he came to himself. So he's over here messing around, thinking that he's separated from God. Was the truth that he was ever separated from God? No. Even in his nonsense, he was not separated from God. Christians don't like that. Gnashing of teeth. Look how good I am, God. That's the older son, who still wouldn't go in the stupid house. Get in the house and party. Anyway, nevertheless, when one turns, return to back to where you wanted from. So when you take away that veil that covers your heart, that go, I must do all these things to be pleasing to God, and I just simply come to myself. Come to myself. So the prodigal son goes, I thought my identity was over here with the pigs, but when I turned to Jesus, I realized that's me. He came to himself. This is your true identity. See, the world is still trying to figure, this is the biggest thing, right? High school and college, they're out finding themselves. The world will forever find themselves. They'll struggle with this thing unless we honestly tell them, you know who yourself is? Jesus Christ. That's who you are. No, I can't because my Sunday school teacher said I'm a sinner. No, just stop listening to that. Turn to yourself. That's really what it means if you go look, study it out in the Greek. So the veil was taken away, this thing that separated ourselves. It separated us from him, not him from us. He always wanted us there in the family. And so anyway, now the Lord is that Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Amen? I want to read something to you. You want a really cool translation. It's called the Mirror Translation. I'm going to read something to you here. It's the guy I quoted last week, Francois Dutoit, wrote this thing. And wait a minute, do I have another slide on that one? I can't remember. Yeah, okay. So verse 18, but we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. So what he's trying to say is that old covenant, all it could show you was that you're dying, you're fading. This glory is fading away. Amen? It could only condemn you. Because it would show you that you're not that good in and of yourself. You cannot find life in anything but Jesus Christ. Your works mean nothing. Your fasting means nothing. You can't get any closer to where you already are in him. That's who you are. Your identity has always been his image. Amen? So, when you come to yourself, when you turn to Jesus, it says, I've gotten away from that veil. Now I just learned it's either between the old covenant of the flesh, my works, or it's this new covenant of just receiving from him, where he's the vine and we're the branches. We don't produce anything. We just participate. You just do this for me? Yeah, what do I do? Build your faith. No, he just does it out of you. Amen? So verse 18, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. So when you look at Jesus, what is he showing you? Robert, this is your true identity. Joe, this is your true identity. You thought you were something else, but now when you look at Jesus, that's who you've always been. Hallelujah, man. See, I was taught this. Just keep your eyes on Jesus, and then the Holy Spirit goes to work and makes you into that. things were taught that. Not, I actually even taught that. I'm like, okay, sure. Doesn't make any sense to me, but I'll say it because Joseph Prince said it. And then I'm going, no. When you look at him, what you're supposed to know is he's showing you who you already are. It's like a mirror. This is who you already are because of Jesus. It's the mirror. That's what this whole thing's about. Jesus is your true identity, always has been. So all you're doing is coming alive to that. That spirit goes, wait a minute, I'm already in Jesus Christ. When I look at Jesus, I'm really looking at me. Praise God. You were created in his image. You're little anointing carriers. You, God vessels you. Isn't that amazing? Does this make any sense to you? It's exciting to me. You guys are really quiet. It's not like a Saturday night. It's like, come on, man. Bay City Rollers. S-A-T-U-R. Right? You guys know what I'm talking about? My mother was a music teacher, so I know every song to you. S-A-T, anyway. Hey, speaking of that, Christians, I tell Solomon all the time, just make some good music. Man, the Christian music just, like, really? Again? Oh, Jesus. Oh, I'm so weak, I can hardly hold my head up. Please, Lord, I'm desperate for you. I'm seeking you. I see a lot of seeking. Why don't we find him? Right? You've been found. You don't need to seek him. You seek one time, Lord, who am I? You're Jesus. When you look to him, you're showing you your true identity. Stop seeking him. You are him. Two have become one. Amen? Now we can write some good music, man. Start jamming on that guitar. Hallelujah. Yeah, amen. Amen. Maybe we'd learn a lot from those guys. Anyway. All right. So, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord. When you look at Jesus, you look at who? You. Praise God. You are being transformed in that same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, how many guys know? We just looked at this and it says there's two kinds of glory. There was an old glory that was fading away, but this new one's going to be way better. So I want to read this to you out of this. This is so, so great to me. I don't know, maybe I'm the only one excited about this. Because you guys don't sound very excited. So either that or I'm just really sucked tonight. So hopefully that's not the case. Is that the case? No, okay. All right, so when it says, we are changed into the same image. That word image is icon, translated as an exact resemblance, image, and likeness. Woo! It's the Greek word icon. When you look at him, you see the exact resemblance of you. Hallelujah, man. What does that mean? That means I can act like him. Amen. I can trust like him. I can pray like him. Yeah, you're an exact image. You're perfect in every way. Hallelujah, man. So the icon always assumes a prototype, which is not merely a resemblance, but that which is drawn. Doxa, or glory, translated as a mindset or opinion from dokeo, authentic blueprint or thought, change from glory to glory. Now here's where in Greek it says this. It says apodoxis eis doxen. So from glory to glory. What I was taught is, hey, listen, you're going to go here, and then you're going to go higher level of glory, and then you're going to go higher level of glory. The minute Jesus rose again from the cross, you were the perfect replica. Amen? What he's showing you is you went from that old nonsense glory of the old covenant to the new amazing glory of the new covenant. Amen? And it literally says that. Apo means away from, meaning away from the glory that was previously defined in our own achievements, our own disappointments, to the glory of our original design that now defines us. Two glories are mentioned earlier in this chapter. The veiled, fading kind represented by Moses, and the unveiled, unfading glory mirrored in the face of Christ, our exact replica. When we look at him, we look at us. Woo! I love that, man. So you're gotten rid of this old nonsense glory of the old covenant, from glory, away from that old one, is literally what it means, to this new one that keeps going it gets brighter and brighter. Amen? Isn't that cool? So, two glories are mentioned in this chapter. The glory of the flesh and the unfading of glory's image and likeness. The fading glory represented in the dispensation of the law of Moses is immediately superseded by the unveiling of Christ in us. You're an exact replica of Jesus Christ. You were created in his image and he restored you back there. Amen? Man, if we would wake up to this. Some translations of this scripture read, we are being changed from glory to glory. This would suggest that change is gradual and will more than likely take a lifetime. One time. Exactly right. It's not what it's saying, which was the typical thinking that trapped Israel for 40 years in the wilderness of unbelief. We cannot become more than what we already are in Christ. Amen? Hallelujah, man. We do not grow more complete. We simply grow into the knowledge of what he already completed. We are not changed from one degree of glory to another or step by step. The ugly duckling was an illusion. Hallelujah. Whatever it was that endorsed the ugly duckling mindset co-died together with Christ 2,000 years ago. In the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, God did not redeem a compromised replica of you. He rescued the original blueprint you, created in his radiant mirror likeness. Any other self you're trying to find or esteem will disappoint. Reckon your DIY law, do-it-yourself law of works, dead, and you're redeemed, co-raised, co-seated together with Christ once and for all. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen? Does that make sense to you? Man, for 2,000 years we've been trying to get somewhere and not realizing that they were there. What happened 2,000 years ago? We went from that old fading glory of you trying to be good enough, you trying to fast enough, you trying to crawl into Jesus somehow. And if you don't, your pipe's full, like I talked about. Right? No way, man. We are an exact replica of Jesus Christ. He's redeemed you to what you've always been. Hallelujah. Does that make sense to you guys? So, that's what it says. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in the mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into that same image from glory to glory. That same icon, that same exact replica. So we're not trying to go, Holy Spirit, go to work in me. We're trying to go, that's who you already are. And the more you see that, I'm already there. That already happened to me 2,000 years ago. Something happens to you. You're just becoming alive to the truth that happened 2,000 years ago. In fact, Martin, I think when I were talking, I go, listen, prayer was designed for you. You're really just coming alive to what's already true about you when we pray. Amen? Even Jesus on the cross, where he's quoting Psalm 22, I believe it is, when he says, my Lord, why have you forsaken me? I was taught this. Well, he can't see sin. It's the first time that God turned his back on Jesus because he can't see sin. So he forsake him. I just showed you, it says, God was in Christ on that cross, reconciling the world to himself. By the end of Psalm 22, it says, I cried out and thought you didn't hear me, but in the end of Psalm 22, it says, I always heard you and I never denied you. I was with you even on the cross. Amen? He was willing to suffer incredible death, incredible destruction to prove his love for us. Not because God had to punish, I'm so mad because Adam and Eve sinned, and if I count somebody to beat up, I'm a beat up man. What a screwed up dad that would be. You know what? We'd get help for that dad. Medicate him and probably take the kids away. And yet that's what we were taught for 2,000 years. Nothing could be further from the truth, in my opinion. My humble opinion, but I think I got scripture to back me up on this, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself on that cross. Amen? And he died once and for all to go, it's never been an issue for me. I dealt with sin. Now I'm alive. Amen? And now, you know what? I've did something that man could never believe. I'm in you, and you're married to me. Now come alive to that truth. Amen? How many guys be reconciled to God? All right, get to your feet. Hopefully this makes sense to you guys. You're very quiet. Can we hit that next slide? I can't get there, Tawana. I think I got one more. All right. Here's what's going on. When you turn away from that old covenant, take that veil away, it's trying to do it on myself, and I turn to myself, is what the prodigal son said. He came to himself. He goes, my identity is not in this slop pit over here. Amen? He came back to the house and he goes, there I am again. That's where I've always been. So God is reintroducing us to our real identity. The illusion that God was mad at us was simply an illusion. He's the father of lies, Satan is. Amen? God was never upset. And I apologize for teaching that, because I believe I didn't teach the right thing. I believe I taught what I heard other pastors taught, and I go, they must be smarter than me. I'm sure they are smarter than me. There's no doubt about that. But I'm just dumb enough to believe he's that good. Amen? I mean, God, we'd be dumb and blessed, man. It's a wonderful place to be. It really is. I'm not smart enough to figure this stuff out. I just got to rely on him to go, here, let me show you. I'm way better than what you used to think. Amen? So, God has reduced us to our real identity. Your weak efforts of mankind to please God are over. Over. Amen? They will always leave us feeling unworthy and lost. See, the world's trying to find themselves. Most Christians are go, Lord, if you're real, I need to show you. And they're praying for God to use them in miracles. And you know what? That'll even hinder you from doing that. Just know that he freely does it. You can pray for people. He'll do it. You can't add one thing to it. Amen? And what if he doesn't? Did anything change? No, you're still exact replica of Jesus Christ. That's just man's fallen condition. Amen? They will always leave us feeling unworthy and lost. Hey, you know what? We need to tell the hurting world that you've been found 2,000 years ago. He reconciled you to himself. He's not, well, turn to Jesus. That's the real God. Well, I wouldn't serve a God that would do this. Neither would I. You're hearing him correctly, you heathen, you. Amen? Go back to where you last heard God. Good luck. Just turn to him and he'll reintroduce you to himself. So that's who you are. You heard all this other stuff for the last part of your lives and it hurt you. That was never, I'll spit that message out of my tongue, is what he said. I'll never teach that message. All I'm going to teach is I've loved you perfectly forever. I reconciled the world to me. Now you're in Christ and he's in you. Nothing could ever separate you from his love. Nothing could ever separate you from his supernatural favor. Nothing could ever separate you from his supernatural blessings. Nothing could ever separate you from his supernatural divine protection. You got it all. Amen? How's that sound? To me, it's good news. So when we pray, we're just really all we're doing is we're stirring up the truth that's already in us. That's true prayer to me. Is my prayer didn't make it any more real. Really what I'm trying to say. My prayer was for me, just like communion was for me, prayers for me, is to remind me of what's already true. It just stir up that gift that's already in us. Amen? He quickens, exactly right. And you know what? When somebody tells you, when he sees you, he sees perfection. You're perfectly perfect and loved. Amen? Can you start getting your hopes up then? And guess what? Tomorrow morning you're going to wake up and you know what you're going to realize? Me again. Right? That's the renewal of the mind every day. Wait a minute. Stir that. Yeah, I heard Joe say that. He's the guy, because I always taught that. I wake up and I go, oh, it sucks again. Here I am. Right? Your hair's all messed up. Your breath stinks. Yeah. Whatever. You know, I'm like, there's Jesus. That's not the first thing that comes to my mind. I need to stir myself up again that when I look to him, I'm looking at myself. Hallelujah. Amen. We know no man according to the flesh, meaning that what we see here, etc., we know everybody in Jesus Christ. Amen? Hallelujah. Isn't that good news? All right, so Christ did it all. Praise God. We're an exact replica and co-heir of Jesus Christ, all by his death and resurrection. Amen? So when we pray, really all we're doing is coming alive to the fact that's already there. Sound good to you guys? So if some of you guys need prayer after this, I'll of course pray for you. But really all we're doing, and even laying on of hands and everything, is already stirring it up that gift that's already yours. You can't get any more beautiful and perfect in his eyes than you already are. Praise God. Isn't that awesome? Well, what about this prophet said this? Well, he might be wrong. A lot of people prophesy weird things over me. Like, wow, that's great. Right? I think he's ever met those guys. But then if you pay $75, he'll personally prophesy over you. No, I'll keep my $75. Thank you. Because I'd rather not him prophesy over me. So, does that help you guys? Now there's, sorry, I'm like, can you just stop being so weird? Yeah, yeah. If it does, here's what you say. Can I have a guaranteed return on this thing? Right? If your prophesy isn't true, can I get my money back with interest? No, that's not. No, once it dies, it dies. I don't see Paul doing that. I don't see Jesus doing that. Come on, guys. The perfect prophecy is Jesus Christ about you. He is you, and you are in him. Amen? So, then it's unlimited. That's what Jesus said. Listen, up until now, you haven't called me Abba. You haven't called me Dad. But now, I'm not saying I'm going to pray for you. You can go straight to the Father, and what will happen? He will hear, and he might do it if your belief's high enough than your unbelief. Nope, that's not what it says. He goes, if you pray to the Father, I will do it so that your joy may be full. Hallelujah. Amen. Doesn't that sound too good to be true? It's called the gospel. The gospel literally means too good to be true. Man, it's all this, well, yeah, your pipe's been clogged up for a while because we've been all this weird teaching. It had nothing to do with your sin. It was doing the weird deal that we all listened to for too long. Amen? You are in him, and he's in you. This is the great mystery. Two have become one. Hallelujah, man. You're married to Jesus Christ. Sound good? So, whatever you need, just stir it up. So, Father, we love you. We praise you. We magnify you. We just thank you that let this revelation get into their heart that when they look to Jesus and they turn away from that old law, the veil is completely removed and they look to you. What they're really seeing is you're trying to show them this is who you've always been. Let me reintroduce you to you. You're an exact replica of Jesus Christ, not a fading thing, something that's glory, glory, glory. We're turning away from that old glory and go to the new glory, this new, better revelation that I am perfect, whole, righteous, beloved, health, blessed, supernatural. Mystery that took place 2,000 years ago. Thank you, Jesus, for doing it all. So, Father, we just pray supernatural blessing over all these people's lives. Let them just get this reality that as Jesus is, so are they in this world. That the favor that rested on Jesus rests on them right now. It's, in fact, they don't need to pray for the portal. They are the portal. They're not trying to climb into this thing. It's flowing out of them like rivers flowing of living water. It's everything that Jesus has is in them. And I just ask to stir that thing up, that they already know they already have everything in Jesus' magnificent name. In Jesus' magnificent name. Father, we thank you for restored relationships right now. In Jesus' magnificent name. Every body part, just be whole right now in Jesus' magnificent name. In Jesus' name. Father, let every synapse, every part of their brain, every cell, even their DNA just change supernaturally right now to the truth of what's already true about them. We just say thank you for that, Father. We thank you for miracle workers in here. We thank you for supernatural businessmen and women that just do exploits because they realize that when they look at Jesus, they see themselves. That's who we are, representing your kingdom. So we just say thank you. In Jesus' magnificent name, amen, amen, amen.